Faith Science Podcast.
My name is Tyler Bublitz, and welcome back to the third Sunday of Easter for the week of April 14th, 2024. I'm excited to have you here. I'm excited to dig into this week's podcast, and I'm excited because of what we've been going through here, at least here in the United States. One of the things that's been going on and will be happening this week is we have a total solar eclipse. We'll be talking a little bit more about that. I know I've brought it up the last couple of weeks, but I found one final thing that just ties in so beautifully, I feel, this week with the gospel text. And I just believe when we are having an experience like this, yes, the globe gets a total solar eclipse every 18 months, but it's so rare that it actually goes over big swaths of people, and especially being located in the United States, the area that I'm in, I'm not going to see totality, but being able to have where it's going through some major metropolitan cities here in the United States or right around there, I think that is something worth talking about, worth discussing. And it's interesting if you get some of the time looking at what people in past ones and even this present one that will be coming up and this week, I think there's a lot of people who talk about it being a really humbling and almost spiritual experience. And I think that's where, especially when we're in this Easter season, I think it's worth spending some time in contemplating and thinking about. And I would highly recommend if you are in the position to be able to be preaching, I think it's very worthwhile really looking into this and seeing if this is something to be able to be talked about this week, because it's such a major aspect of what is going on, but also the spiritual realm in which has been kind of addressed with that. There is a lot of interesting things, Native American culture, but just even just how people react to it. So I'd highly recommend checking out some of that stuff. But before we get into where I'm looking at taking it this week, we have to look back at last week. And the question that I have for you last week is, where are you currently grappling with faith? A very open-ended question. There was one of the responses we got back, I think it's worth really talking about a little bit further. And the question that this person's been grappling with is, why is God letting his people get so bad? And the comment from this person is talking about, if it was a child coming up, you would say sin. But it's, in this person's opinion, the complete disregard for humans and just people in general, and just wondering, where is God in all of this? And I can see that. I can understand and I can relate to that. I think one of the ones this last weekend, I was at an eco-faith conference and listened to a sixth grader eloquently put the environmental crisis in ways and how she struggles with hope because of everything that's going on. Not that she completely is derived of hope, but struggles with hope. And I think that's where it's difficult, because I think a lot of times we need to be able to grapple and wrestle with these different topics, but not necessarily always have an answer. We may not see it, which makes it all the harder. But I also think then we also have to still see where there is progress being made. Yes, people are crazy, but in certain ways, we are also more connected than we have ever been. And I think in the world in which we're in, for better or for worse, I think there's ways that we are holding ourselves to higher accountability standards. I think there is ways that we are striving to be better, and it sometimes means we have to take steps backwards to be able to go forward. But I really do wish I understood why. Why do we struggle with people struggling to love each other? Why, as Christians, is it sometimes hard for us to show love and care to our neighbors, whether that is a human being or otherwise? Why is it sometimes that we forget these simple concepts, these simple things that if we talk to a young child, they would be able to explain easily, but yet for us that we overcomplicate? And I think that's that point that we get from Jesus in other places of let the little children come to me. It's that whole idea of making sure that we're spending time with our young people, because there is a simplicity to life that they have that is not bad. It's sometimes that we overcomplicate as we get older, and we forget what the point of life really is at moments. And I think that's where, again, young people can help direct us in the ways and where we need to be going in order to actually see God and see life. So let's just jump into it. The first reading this week is again out of Acts chapter 3, verses 12 to 19. I would recommend with this text, I feel like you need to give a little bit of backstory. So what has happened? Again, you have had Jesus return, you have had the ascension, and Peter has been spending some time with some friends, is going to the temple with some buddies, and realizes that there is a person who is crippled there, who has been known to be crippled there, and Peter heals this person. And this is then where we pick this up, where people are wondering, and what are you doing? And this is then Peter going through and recognizing the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, our ancestors. This is what was told for us, that we would have this person come and be able to do these great deeds. And yet our sinful self put him to the tree. We decided to kill him, and we are all witnesses to that. But it's through our faith that we recognize that we have made these wrongs, and we confess these wrongs. And in doing that, that is then how we repent, and we are wiped clean in that way because of that. But it's the acknowledging what we have done, but then also looking and knowing the forgiveness is coming as well. The psalm that goes with this week is Psalm 4, all 8 verses of it. This starts as a lament. This starts in distress and recognizing the shame, recognizing the ways that we fall short, but then starts to turn around in this recognition of what God has done for us. This idea of then how God continues to show God's face for us and is continuing to give us this peace through the confession and forgiveness type of idea. This idea of how God continues to, through our sacrificing and putting our trust in God, that God is able to wipe the slate clean and see, I see your heart, I know your heart, trust in me, and we can continue to walk through this even though you trip and fall multiple times. The second reading, or the epistle text this week, is out of 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. And this then is recognizing yet again that we are children of God, I think is a huge part of this text, and recognizing that as children, there is times that we fall short, but yet the God that we serve provides hope through the purity of forgiveness. And recognizing that our sin causes us to be lawless and causes us to go astray. But yet it's through us recognizing that we are children of God, that we are made righteous, and acknowledging that, and that sin then has no more grip over us because we are children of the Most High. The gospel text this week is out of Luke chapter 24, starting at verse 36b to 48. So this is again a story here, very similar to like what we had last week. We just don't have Thomas, but a little bit different. Jesus is amongst his disciples, and they're thinking they're seeing a ghost, and Jesus responds with, why are you frightened? Why are there doubts arising in your heart? And he shows the holes, but yet they're still worried because Jesus appears different. This is an acknowledgement of how, yes, he's familiar, but also the aspect of, we've watched you die, and yet here you are standing in front of us. That appearance is scary. So what does Jesus do? He asks the question, have you anything to eat? They give him boiled fish. He eats in their presence. And this is when they are able to recognize who Jesus is. And in Jesus reiterating, you have seen what has been spoken through the prophets, through the laws, through the Psalms. It's all being fulfilled. And that, yes, all these things I told you, that I must suffer and rise on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins will be proclaimed in the name of me through the beginning of Jerusalem, and that they then are witnesses to these things. This acknowledgement of bringing everything back around, that what Jesus did, what is going on, I am not a ghost, I am not something that your imagination is coming up with. I am back. I am here. Let me prove that I am still fully human and fully divine, because now you've seen the divine and you are scared of the divine, but yet also recognize that I am back here in my human form to be able to recognize and show you there are things that I am fulfilling for you to be able to bring you to that next place and help you establish this relationship with God in a much different way than you ever have before. So, before we jump into how faith and science come together this week, we have to do a shameless plugs. But Working Preacher, if you haven't checked out Working Preacher, I'd highly recommend it. Between their Sermon Brainwaves podcasts, their commentaries, their discussions. Since I'm not an ordained minister, I use them on a weekly basis to help give me some ideas, direction, different ways to be looking at these texts. So, if you haven't checked out WorkingPreacher.org, I'd highly recommend that. I'd also highly recommend checking out the Revised Common Lectionary coming from Vanderbilt Divinity Library. I really enjoy how they lay out the text week to week. They have hymns, art, colors, prayers, daily devotions. It's an amazing resource. If you haven't checked it out, I'd highly recommend it. I really like how they lay out the text week to week. I find it really useful and really helpful, and it's a great resource to be able to check out. So if you haven't checked out the Revised Common Lectionary coming from Vanderbilt Divinity Library, I'd highly recommend it. I'd also highly recommend checking out the Green Blade Preaching Roundtable and the Green Blades Rising Publications. This is either a weekly reflection or a monthly newsletter that has links to some of these different reflections covering ecological echoes, implications, and urgencies. In fact, the conference that I talked about, the Ecological Faith and Science Conference that I was talking about, part of what it was hosted by was coming out of the Green Blades Rising from the Eco Faith group there. So I'd highly recommend checking it out. There's great resources there, a lot of great different ideas. I've written for these people. It's an amazing group. I really enjoyed spending some time with them this last week. If you haven't checked this stuff out, that'll be some of the first links down in the show notes. Finally, if you are a high school student and are listening to this, I'd highly recommend checking out the Gus Davis Academies for Faith, Science, and Ethics, as they, on June 15th through the 21st at Gustavus Adolphus College, are having their discussion on how and why we sleep, revelations, and rest. This group, their Faith, Science, and Ethics group, is amazing. I was able to be part of it last year. I'm working on trying to potentially see if I can be part of it again this year. It's a great resource, amazing group of people, and they get to go deep because you have multiple days and talking about how does faith, science, and ethics all work together. If you are listening to this or know people who would enjoy this type of thing, I'd highly recommend checking this out. And in fact, I have a promo code through the end of this month that is EXTRZA24, and that'll get you $50 off the registration fee. So I'd highly recommend checking that out. I have that down in the show notes as well, along with the promo code. One of the things and why I really do enjoy talking about these texts on a week-to-week basis is being trained as a scientist and then having faith background, you look at different texts differently. My brain, especially having done this now for 6 years, thinks about and looks at texts differently than most people that I run across. And one of the things that I see in this text in Luke is Jesus is doing the scientific method. First, Jesus appears and it surprises the scientists. It surprises the disciples. They are questioning and they're wanting to be able to know that this isn't some fluke, that this is some outlier within their data, that this is something that they're actually seeing. It's not fluky. And that's where Jesus asking to eat the boiled fish is so impressive. Because what is that doing? It's trying to normalize the situation. It's trying to show that I am not a ghost. I am a person. I still need sustenance of this earth. And so thus, in doing that, it's being able to trust what they are seeing, trust what they are acknowledging, and this is the moment then that Jesus is able to give further instructions to better understand what they have actually just witnessed. And to me, that is a fairly simple process in a few verses of how the scientific method actually works. And sometimes that's how it runs. It takes time. It takes doubt. It takes, how are we going to actually test this to figure out if this is actually the real deal? And like I teased up at the beginning of this podcast, we got to talk a little bit about this solar eclipse. But I think in order to do that, we have to talk about one of the greatest solar eclipses that have ever happened for us in our understanding of how current science works. And it's a person that we haven't talked about all that much on the podcast over the last 6 years. We've talked about the sun, but not enough. That's Albert Einstein. Einstein, in 1915, came up with a theory of general relativity. And be able to just have a general understanding of how the theory of relativity works, we have to first understand how people were understanding gravity prior to the theory of general relativity. So we go back to Sir Isaac Newton. And basically what Newton was saying is that it's a law of attraction. And thus you're having something with a greater mass like the sun, and thus it's attracting things together. And that's why you're having things rotate around the sun, that there is attraction for them to come together. When Einstein started thinking about this, he didn't see it that way. See, Newton was seeing also a separation between time and space, that they were not associated. Einstein said, yes, they are associated, and that's how all this stuff is working. Because you're having objects of greater mass, it's actually affecting space and thus time, being able to warp time. So if you think of it like a big grid, and that if you had a piece of paper and you drop a marble onto that grid, the grid dips around that marble, and then it slowly works its way back up, thus being able to bend, if the paper is time, bending space-time, bending what is around our planets. And so what Einstein theorized is that in that concept, if we had a solar eclipse, the stars would appear to have moved because the light from the stars is going to be affected by the mass of the sun because the sun is there in the way as they are looking. And so it's bending around the sun because of this warp within space-time. The problem is that Einstein is coming up with this is in the middle of World War I. So World War I runs from 1914 to 1918. And we have to, again, just a simple reminder that Einstein is a German. So there is some conflict. Well, at that time then, Arthur Eddington and Dyson, who is also from the UK, kind of get a hold of these and are deciding to start working on figuring out a trip. And yeah, let's see if what this paper means anything. Einstein is a nobody at this point. He's theoretical physics. There is nothing there, but they look at this and see this as something potentially to be interesting. And in May of 1919, there is a solar eclipse plan. And as it's going across the globe, it's going to hit both South America and then into that kind of cutout in Africa, so kind of mid-Africa. And they figure this is a good opportunity. The problem that you have to remember, also we're talking 1919 here, coming just after on the heels of World War I, is that the telescopes and the technology that they're dealing with, they're shipping it all there and having to set it all up. And thankfully, Eddington got one good picture of the eclipse. And what they were looking at with the eclipse is, like I kind of stated, the stars that would be typically in the night sky, now with having the solar eclipse there, you'd be able to see those stars as well. And their idea being, did the stars appear to move at the moment of totality? Because if that's the case, the light then is bending around the sun, and thus they are moving just a few millimeters to be able to, yeah, this is actually movement, thus it's that the light is being affected by that gravitational pull and warp in space-time. So when they got these photographs, they compared them then to, they had a special machine in the UK to be able to compare where these would typically be, and were able to confirm the theory and give additional support to the theory of general relativity that Einstein had had. And this is the springboard for Einstein to be known not only locally in Europe, but worldwide because of what Einstein was thinking about. And this is what then pushed and provided new insights and thought into how all of this works, and has pushed physics into a whole new realm because of stuff what Einstein did. So how does this relate? Einstein had these ideas and theories in 1915 and had to wait till 1919 to figure out whether or not this was even close. And granted, Einstein was still working on other things, but it was one of those things where Einstein couldn't even do it and had to trust in other people to be able to even run the experiments. Jesus reappears and is in front of his friends, and they're questioning, and yet then Jesus has to reconfirm to them yet again. Let me show you that this is me, that this is not just a hallucination, that I am really with you in the flesh. Let me eat in front of you and show that I am enfleshed as a human, to give additional support to the idea that Jesus had come back. I think when we think about all of this, it's really easy for us to forget how mind-boggling this would have been, how everything that we have known to this point has suddenly changed. And heck, from our time going forward, we could argue that there's been some people who've been resurrected through modern medical science, but not quite like what Jesus did. We haven't had necessarily resuscitation devices or different things to reanimate the heart to get it going. This is of a different accord. And I think even now, if something like this happened, would be something that we would, what is going on? This doesn't make sense. When Einstein threw out the theory of general relativity, it was contrary to everything that people were thinking at the time. It was very out there. And sure, okay, maybe, but you have to be so specific to figure out a mass that was going to be big enough to be able to measure how much effect that was going to be versus what Newton would project. And Einstein didn't hit it exactly on, but was a lot closer than what Newton would have projected. And this has been something that has been reconfirmed with every solar eclipse, re-showing that yes, this was along the right idea that Einstein had 100 years ago. And so I think it's one of those moments where yet again, it's showing that concept of support. And as we've talked about in the past how we wrestle with the word proof in the scientific community, but where there is more and more and stronger support behind the theory of general relativity. Jesus is on this mission here in the ends of the Gospels and a little bit in the beginning of Acts to re-show that, yes, the things that I was talking about, and to provide more support to the idea that this is me, and I am here to re-show and help you understand what I was talking about was true, and I did what I told you I was going to do. I think that's where, when we look at these different texts, part of that is then us having to acknowledge that we are children of God, and that we are forgiven, but we have to still acknowledge our sin and give it to God. But then recognizing that in that, God does the work and has already done the work, but yet we still are striving to do better, to get closer. We hear the lament, but then also that trust that that would take for us in the psalm. And how when we witness these types of things, like Peter doing this healing and the people around him questioning, what am I actually seeing here? Can I truly trust it? That's where the beauty of science in its purest form, being able to replicate things, is so important. And that's why it's so important that, yes, whenever we've had these solar eclipses, rechecking the data, and yes, this continues to confirm and support the theory of general relativity that Einstein had. And I think it's us going through and recognizing within our own lives, just as the disciples are doing and building their case of support for what Jesus is and what Jesus has accomplished suddenly at this moment in front of their eyes, us, where do we continue to see God and continue to build that own support and trust? And I think that's the question for this week. Where are you continuing to find support and trust in God? In this Easter season, as we are walking through this and recognizing and seeing how God continued to manifest through Jesus in various different ways to various different people and continuing to challenge us to continue to move forward and take on this mantle that Jesus had as we move forward into the future, are we going to accept those challenges? Are we going to be willing to contemplate and think about that and move forward in the appropriate manners that are needed? And these are not easy things. Getting back to kind of the questions that we had at the beginning, I think that's where treating our neighbors, whether human or non-human, kindly is a very difficult task, because there's times where we don't necessarily even fully understand the effects of what we're doing. And yes, there is an aspect of asking for forgiveness, but there's also then the aspect of when do we change our ways to better help our neighbor because we know that we're making mistakes. These are all hard questions. And yes, we've gotten through Lent with the hard-hitting questions, but I think Easter brings forth different questions for us to be working on and contemplating and considering. Part of how we know Einstein is that Einstein didn't stop with the general theory of relativity. Einstein continued and continued thinking and thinking outside the box and abstractly and trying to then, is that a possibility? And if it's not, then what would potentially be these different ideas? And I think as we are in this Easter season, I think these are reasonable questions. I think we have to continue to challenge our understanding of who God is and continue to look at, like what we have in Luke, the things that we say, that just seems weird, and actually maybe do some investigation, because that's maybe where we start to see God. Maybe that's where we start having huge breakthroughs in physics. Maybe that's when we start really being able to grapple with how big and vast the universe is, and time isn't necessarily a constant everywhere. That there's places where it warps. There are places where it bends. And there's places where God does things that we don't understand. And that doesn't mean we shouldn't explore it. It means that we need to think a little harder than we typically would. And I think that's the exciting part of Easter in and of itself. It seems improbable. It seems hard to wrap our heads around. And it is. But yet, just like a difficult science question and things that we see of God's out in nature all the time, we then just need to sit and ponder with them a little bit longer and continue to understand what God is doing. And maybe, just maybe, we start to form some hypothesis on some answers. And I would argue, in a lot of those situations, it's also a moment where we break through in our faith with God. So, we'll wrap this up as we always do. I pray God blesses you through your faith and amazes you through science.